From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Yahoo CEO Marissa Mayer is the talk of Silicon Valley and way beyond this week after banning her employees from working from home. A bombshell Yahoo HR memo out Friday said unity at the company, quote, starts with physically being together. Sounds nice, maybe. But weren't we supposed to be well into the new golden age of telecommuting, where work can be done from anywhere, including from home? What just happened here? Is it because Yahoo's in trouble? Is there a flaw in the whole telecommuting theory? This hour on Point, Yahoo bans work from home, and a generation asks, what's going on? You can join the conversation. Do you see why she did it? Is there a problem with working from home? Or just a Yahoo problem? Is it weird that a woman, a new mom, laid down this law? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from Long Beach, California, is Kara Swisher, longtime leading tech writer, co-executive editor at All Things D website. She broke the story of Yahoo's ban on working from home. You can find a link to her piece and the leaked memo from Yahoo's head of human resources at our website, onpointradio.org. Kara Swisher, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, you really are plugged in. How did you get this memo?
Well, we first broke the story about that it was happening, and then they seemed to have sent out a memo right after we wrote our story. I guess I have no idea why they sent it out when they did, but I think people were so upset about it, they sent me the memo right away.
This seems to be so out of step with where we thought the world was going, and maybe, but maybe not, out of step with the sort of profile of Marissa Mayer. I mean, here she is, a new mom. Her young son is 4.5, 5 months old now, mm-hmm. and at a high-tech company, the kind of company that helped bring in the technology and mindset that said, work from anywhere. Why is this dictate come down?
Well, she likes to do dictates, but I think she thinks that it's the better to be together, that they have this massive crisis at Yahoo, and that if they're not together as a group, they can't do collaboration, they can't be innovative, that they have to have this very tight culture. She came from Google, where a lot of people spend a lot of time on campus. There's great food, there's dry cleaning, there's all kinds of perks, and people like to be there. And so she's trying to replicate that, presumably, at Yahoo. I think the issue is the reason they like to stay at Google is not the food or the dry cleaning. They like to stay there because they're working on products that are exciting. And I think that's the problem at Yahoo is not, you know, they can build, a theme park in the middle of the place and people aren't going to stay if they're not excited by what they're doing.
She's got to make it exciting, but right now people are excited for all kinds of reasons, a lot of people enraged. We've got a little tape, Kara. This was Marissa Mayer. Of course, this is very high-powered, very high-profile CEO at Yahoo out of Google, where she was known as a big workhorse for a long time. She, before this all came out, she was on the Today Show last week, Wednesday, NBC, introducing Yahoo's new homepage. And she talked about her juggling of twin lives as new mom and CEO. Here's Yahoo's Marissa Mayer.
I've been a mom now for about 4.5 months, and I've been CEO for 7 months. And I would say that I wouldn't have missed a minute of either experience. They've both been great. It does take a lot of focus. You need to make sure that you're really prioritizing that. There's not a lot of room for anything else.
Yeah.
But overall, I've been having a terrific time with both being a mother and being a CEO.
Well, that sounds great. One thing that's getting a lot of attention, Kara, is what she had a whole nursery built right next to her office at Yahoo. Am I wrong?
No, I wrote that in our story. I mean, I put it low down in the story. I think one of the issues is some of the employees were upset that she had this and it wasn't available to them. And I think in the light of this story, that's the whole thing, is what do you do if she's barring work from home, and one of the benefits of work from home is flexibility. Can we have the same perks? I think the issue is bringing, having a daycare center at work would be fantastic. I think one of the issues around things like this is that people are struggling in terms of how to handle work and those pressures of work,
sure,
and getting there and commuting. And so most companies in Silicon Valley have a much more liberal attitude. She wants to fix this company, and so she is going to, throw out a lot of those kind of things in order to do so. And it's drastic, but it's what she, it's presumably what she thinks is going to work. I think a lot of people are dubious.
You talked with a lot of folks as this all came out. What was it that raised her antenna about working from home? What did she see at her own company, Yahoo, that got her on this track, Kara?
I think she didn't like the parking lots being empty in the morning and very quick empty in the afternoon. I think, you know, it took a while for people to get in. I think she was doing some analysis of VPN usage, which is how you dial in from outside of work. I wouldn't be surprised if she did any kind of swipe card analysis in terms of how many people were at work and stuff like that. And so, I think she was. She did say she was checking the VPNs that work at home people weren't working. I think that was what she told the staff.
Is there a culture problem at Yahoo? I mean, after all, it's taken a huge tumble. It's not the leader it once was. She was the third CEO in a year when she came in.
Fifth in 2 years.
Fifth in 2 years. I mean, that's kind of incredible. Is there?
Yeah.
You know, were people slacking on this policy?
I don't think it's the people who work at home. Like, why tar all work-at-home people? There's some good work-at-home people and some bad work-at-home people. The issue is management and how you manage your work-at-home people. And I think a lot of people feel that she didn't need to go the entire way and perhaps maybe manage the problem rather than legislate an entire solution. I think that she wanted to create a tone, and I get that. I get of intensity, a tone of collaboration. And so this is why her reasons. The memo they wrote was so obtuse, it was hard to understand what they were saying. But I think they had a possibly laudable goal. And some people wonder why she didn't fire just the people that were a problem, because there's plenty of people sitting at desks at Yahoo who are doing nothing. What about them? How do you fix that?
That memo
together is not going to solve that problem.
Maybe. I mean, the memo, which came to you and you brought to the world, it's addressed to Yahoos. I guess that's what they call employees. And in part says, this is from the HR chief there, says, to become the absolute best place to work, communication and collaboration will be important, so we need to be working side by side. Says, some of the best decisions and insights come from hallway and cafeteria discussions, meeting new people, impromptu team meetings. Speed and quality are often sacrificed when we work from home, says the Yahoo memo. We need to be one Yahoo! Exclamation part. And that starts with physically being together. What about that kind of theory of the case? Are there others in Silicon Valley who feel that way, that, you know, we've been kidding ourselves, that it's just as good to be at home? Or is it, as you say, just managing?
I went over a bunch of Silicon Valley companies, all the ones you'd think of, Google, Twitter, Facebook. They all advocate work at home. They are very active with work at home programs, some more than others. But they all also value being together. I mean, I think it's a question of management. And that's, you know, I think what's happened, unfortunately, is she's gotten dragged into this work at home debate when perhaps, I mean, yesterday I think they released a statement, another one that was sort of clear as mud, which was that, you know, we don't want to take on the broad issue of work at home, but this is right for Yahoo right now. Well, she is taking on the broad issue of work at home. You know what I mean? It's hard not to in what you're doing. And so I think some of the issues are some of these people were promised this thing, and then it's taken away. That's probably angered them. And again, if there are people badly working at home, fire those people. Pay them their severance that they're owed and let them go. And I think that's, you know, but she doesn't feel, she's the CEO, so she can do whatever they want. But most people, companies in Silicon Valley, which have used work at home regularly, Facebook, for example, someone at Facebook was telling me that the camera app they have was developed fully by an engineer who just wanted to work in his garage.
Yeah.
They were fine as long as he turned it in. You know, a Google executive has a person in Miami full time. They don't have an office that she goes to there. And so, you know, they're just a good worker. And so the issue is, can you manage people correctly in these very new kind of, with these new tools we have to be able to do such things? Or do you absolutely have to have them staring at each other? It's sort of like forced fun, like you have to go to this party. But it might work. You know what I mean? I think she thinks the situation's drastic enough that she has to force something. And it's a laudable idea.
I mean, you wrote, Kara, reviving a moribund and enervated workforce at Yahoo that has struggled to innovate and excel over many years, you know, big challenge. One of the many problems, you write, has been the liberal use of work-from-home policies that have been woefully mismanaged to create a culture that's simply not energized. I mean, that's the maybe she's got a point of view. Another angle on this, you suggest, and others, that it's a backhanded way of trimming the workforce.
Some people just won't be able to deal. Yes, a lot of people think that. But why them? I mean, it's just, why not go for the entire company? And I guess this concept of doing everything, it's a little cult-like. It's a little, Apple does it a little bit more. I think it's more like an Apple culture. That's a little bit more built on fear, like you have to be here. I think she's going for the Google ceiling, but that was built because there were people working. It was not the food. You know, there was a lot of to-do when she gave away free food. Well, everybody in Silicon Valley has free food. That's table stakes, so to speak.
Yeah, just to get in. What about daycare? Does Yahoo have daycare?
No. Not that I, well, if they would call me back, I would know more. But no, not that I have ever found at the thing. Google does have much more active daycare policies.
And her own nursery for her own young son?
Yeah.
Where is that? What's the deal with that?
It's in the office next to her. She's had it remade. She paid for it herself. It's above board in terms of payments and everything. And so she had it made next to her office so that she could have her nanny there, presumably.
So her nanny and her son are kind of at her elbow if she wants to see them.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
But that would be hard to recreate, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons I put it in, and it's not always pertinent. And it's, a lot of people have issues around kids at work, but... I think one of the workers who worked nearby, a lot of people were talking about it for a long time, but this just brought it into relief. And one of the workers who was nearby said, I'm going to bring my nanny and kids into the cubicle next door and
see what happens. I mean, maybe it'll work, but could they lose talent at Yahoo because of this, Kara?
I don't know. I think, she's sort of seen as a bit of a savior there. The stock is certainly up. Even though there's been no actual change in the results. I mean, there's been little tiny change, but serious, dramatic change hasn't. She's done a lot of cosmetic things, the front page, mail. That was already in. Those are already in the works before she got there. She overhauled Flickr.
Yeah.
She was there when it was finished. That
we'll
was
see.
Also started before she got there. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, we'll see if it works. It's an interesting medicine, but it's a tough one.
Kara Swisher broke it all open. She's at All Things D, joining us from California. Thank you, Kara.
No problem.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Yahoo's CEO, Marissa Mayer, banning work from home. A high-powered new mom says, get back in the office. Let's bring a couple more voices in here. We heard from Kara Fisher, who broke the story last week. With us right now from New York is Sylvia Ann Hewlett, President and CEO of the Center for Talent Innovation, think tank on work policy life. Sylvia Ann Hewlett, thanks very much for joining us.
It's good to be in the show.
And with us also from New York, Raymond Fisman, Professor of Social Enterprise, Director of the Social Enterprise Program at Columbia Business School, co-author of The Org, The Underlying Logic of the Office. Raymond Fisman, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, we've got just response to this just pouring in online. You can well imagine. I mean, Kiyosha says, I'd be in total agreement with the Yahoo CEO if the rest of her staff could also build a mini nursery right next to their offices like she did. Meg says, it's backwards. Teams can work virtually very well. You know, why go down this road? Ray, what do you think? Why did she do it?
Well, I think as has already been noted, this is a company that's sort of in need of a turnaround. And I think there are a couple of things that come out of that. First of all, they have to move relatively quickly. And I actually think it's a lot easier to convey a message both to acquire information and also to send it back down the chain of command in person rather than via email exchange or whatever technology you have for communicating remotely. So I think it's particular to this time and place. I also do think, something that you mentioned previously is that it is entirely possible that telecommuting has been a bit oversold. And that's part of why there's been this eruption of interest in this, because people see this as part of a, if you like, techno-utopian fantasy about what workplaces will all be like. And this is to some degree saying, well, maybe we should temper that with a little bit of maybe there should be a reality check here.
Sylvia, how about it? I mean, is this blowing up the theory? Is it backsliding? Was it a techno-utopian idea in the first place? Or is this just reversion to an old familiar crisis mode mean?
Well, I think that Yahoo is going to lose a lot of its best talent with this new approach. My work shows that 92% of very well-qualified engineers, for instance, see flex and having more control over, when, where, and how work gets done is their kind of number one need. The idea that you're not trusted as a professional, as a grown-up, to come through with your best work, given all the, communication tools we have, is really very undermining for folks. The other thing we find in our work is that, you know, folks are putting in enormous hours. Since the Great Recession, you know, 20% of people are actually working, you know, 9 hours more a week. We find that there's a huge amount of brownout, of slumping of productivity, if you like, if you're chained to a desk all day long. And those folks who, you know, do train for the marathon at 5 o'clock and, you know, clock back on in the evening are much more productive, much more resilient. And I totally agree with Cora. You know, at the heart of this is ensuring that folks are excited about their work and they're well managed. And I think that all kinds of flexibility really do pump up resilience. And, you know, the data show that about 48% of everyone see themselves as browned out for a significant, you know, piece of that week because of the long hour, you know, reality, which has hit so many of us and has created these extreme jobs.
I mean, look, what if Marissa was sitting here with us? Yahoo's not talking much about this beyond their memos, but she said, look, Sylvia, I've got a crisis at my company here, and this is a survival issue. We trust our employees, but their memo said, you know, we need proximity right now. They've got to recreate, innovate, re-innovate the whole company. We need people together in the same room. Help me out here.
But the world's changed, and her best people are going to jump ship because they do want this very badly. They also know that they're much more creative and innovative and not browned out if they are able to have this control over their day. And it's true for both men and women. It's not about kids. We find that more Gen Y men than Gen Y women need this control if they're going to contribute their best.
I've got a lot of men responding with that theme, that's for sure. Raymond Fishman, here's a listener, Silicon Valley vet, says that in her experience, it was insecure managers that often pushed back against telecommuting. Is this just, you know, a failure of finesse in managing telecommuting?
Well, I do think that one thing that's important to keep in mind is I can't imagine that they have this in mind as the long-term future for Yahoo. But I think that they're trying to change a culture, as was already mentioned, where the parking lot is half empty at 9:30 and it starts emptying out at 4. That is especially – like I appreciate that people need flexibility, but at the same time, you know, there are – a lot of tasks that are best executed through personal interaction, like in my own life, as well as, you know, this is borne out in academic research on the nature of innovation, that co-location, being together, is actually quite important. I have long-running projects where, you know, of course I conduct them to a large degree through email or telephone interaction, but I can't imagine actually starting a new project via telephone conference call.
But you can
see, unimaginable
but
Ray, to me.
Yeah, Sylvia?
You see, I think we don't have a good enough handle in this conversation of what this looks like. We find, again, in the data that folks only telecommute for a small portion of the week. That is the reality in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. But they treasure the ability at the margin to do this. And those folks who are leaving at, you know, 4:30 in the afternoon are getting back online and working between, you know, 7 and 10:30 or later or 2 o'clock in the morning. And if the creative vibe hits them then, you know, that's when they want to work. It doesn't mean to say they have no contact with their teams. Teams are extraordinarily effective with some time in the office and some real control over where work is done elsewhere.
I mean, Ray, I think part of there's a little element of horror in the response here. And part of it seems to be, look, we thought this was a package deal. We would work like dogs. We would give you everything of our creativity, but we would have some flexibility to keep life human as we did that. In fact,
and
people
keep
thought
ourselves
that
healthy.
And that was in a way integral to this new deal. And suddenly it's like,
I think it's
like dogs, but back in the cubicle.
I think it's important to draw the distinction between the general case for how we want to balance home and office work versus what Marissa Mayer is trying to accomplish at Yahoo. Trying to change an equilibrium, if you like, a culture where most people don't show up to work. And as a result of most people not showing up to work, you know, who would bother coming in and spending their hours there? So balancing the many negative responses to this announcement, there's actually been a collection of people saying, including ex-executives from Yahoo, that, you know, I understand why she's doing this.
I hear that loud and clear, but I also feel a little fudge slide there, Ray. I mean, you're talking about telecommuting being perhaps revealed as a techno-utopian idea. That's a little bit different from saying Yahoo's in a special bind right now. We'll look more at it. Let me get our listeners in. Lauren in Kentucky, Beaver Dam, Kentucky. Lauren, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm a doula. I'm a full-time student. I commute an hour and a half every day to Western Kentucky University. I have two kids, you know, and I run a photography business, and I'm a ceramicist. I do it all, you know, and I'm glad that, you know, she's a new mom and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that we have a nationwide cesarean rate of 33%, which means that these moms have to be off 6 to 8 weeks after they give birth. She only took a 2-week maternity leave. That's great for her. She's sending the wrong message to these women who are going to be good mothers and who are trying to work out their lives. That's just my opinion.
What if she feels she has a crisis in her company and it has been in big trouble and she's got to, you know, circle the wagons, get everybody in there? Does that make sense to you, Lauren? Or even then, no.
It makes sense. But you know, there's structure that she could put around her company and to her employees to enforce that so that she does get, you know, the output that she needs from that company.
Yeah. Lauren, I appreciate your call. Sylvia, there's the, you know, make it possible for mothers to do this. I mean, just last week we were looking at the anniversary of Betty Friedan's The Feminine Mystique, and the consensus of women across all ages was we've got as a society to make allowances so that women can be in the workforce, but keep it human. And this seems to tilt the other way.
I think we are mixing up two issues here.
How do you not mix them?
She's got
a nursery right next to her office.
Flexibility, Tom,
mm-hmm.
is hugely desired for reasons of resilience, performance, and health. Gen Y is mostly not overwhelmingly involved in the childcare issue. You know, there's delay in childbearing, and, you know, 30-40% of these engineers are not having kids.
Well, now, it's bearing down on them.
Right. So these issues are out there, I know, mm-hmm. and I have written a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have two somewhat distinct issues here. How do you create, you know, the most innovative, the most resilient set of teams out there that really can deliver for Yahoo or any
mm-hmm.
other company?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that to keep your top talent, you need to create the conditions that allows them to deliver their best somewhat on their terms. And they're telling us that, you know, flexibility at the edges, some control over where best they work is how they want to do it. And they can do it that way at all of Yahoo's competitors.
But Marissa Mayer wasn't born yesterday. She was a top executive at Google. So she's not just a babe in the woods here. She's been around.
Of course
not, but she must disagree with you on that, exactly that point.
Well, we'll see, right? Because I do feel that there's been a revolt this week. I think that we are here. Hearing from many, many people who find this, you know, old think.
Yeah.
They find it something that they want to struggle against. We've been hearing these voices. In addition, we do have the issue of being a parent and needing, whether it's childcare facilities or some very special forms of flexibility that allow you to do both things well in the ways that she is clearly striving to do herself. And, you know, that is a second issue which is mixed up with the first, but it's not the same because conflating, you know, the child issue with why we need flexibility for innovation and resilience you know, I think doesn't serve well, you know, the men who are, you know, squawking about this or the folks who do not have children but still want to make that yoga class because they know that they don't get browned out, you know, by 12 o'clock that night when they want to go back
to
work.
I get that they're different things, and yet they are intertwined and intertwined in the very person of Marissa Mayer and her circumstance.
No, that's true. You're right. You're
it's hard to take our eyes off that. Tasha in Charleston, South Carolina. Tasha, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you think?
I have a comment for what's going on, but I want to say first, like your speaker just said, the assumption being made that the majority of people who are arguing against flex hours or arguing for flex hours are moms. And it's not just women with children who stay at home. It's other people.
Absolutely. Male. I get it. We heard Kara Swisher talk about a Facebook team that didn't go into the office at all. They went to their garage and built a whole new camera function for Facebook. And that was guys mainly, as far as I understand. So yeah. I get it, Tasha.
You know, on top of that, I am a new mom. I'm a new mom, and I had a C-section, like your other caller talked about.
Yeah.
And I had a preemie who was in the hospital. And I went, I took, you know, the 6 weeks my job gave me, and then I took an extra couple of weeks, but I went back to work. Just because you get a job, there is no guarantee that you get to work from home. That is a company policy. That's not a privilege. It's a privilege, not a right. So if the new CEO, whose job is to come in there and make changes to improve the company, wants to make this a focus that we come in, we work together, there's no guarantee that later on she won't allow flex hours, but that's her right. And then the other argument is that, well, she built a nursery. Yeah, everyone knows that at different levels in an organization, in a company, in a military, you get different privileges. So to simply say, oh, well, she gets a nursery, I get one. No, I'm sure there are people in middle management that have privileges that lower people don't have.
Tasha, I get it, but let me ask you this. I totally get the perspective you're bringing here, but didn't you kind of begin to think over the last decade, as the internet really came on stream, that we were headed into a new era where things could be, because technology was bringing us new capacity, things could be a little different, maybe a little better on this front?
Could be, yes, but there's, I mean, I personally don't think, and I've worked from home. My job allowed me to work from home for a little while. I honestly was not as effective at home as I am in the office because I had a newborn at home and I wanted to hang out and do mommy stuff with her.
Yep.
For me, it was better. And even if, you know, I went into the office and I got work done. And when I was at work, I was at work. And when I was at home, I was at home.
Tasha, we've got it. Let me take it to Sylvia Ann Hewlett. Sylvia, you know, Tasha's get real. She's got a crisis. She's doing what she has to do. She's the boss. Here we go.
Well, you know, I go back to my main point, which is I think that her best people will not flourish under this regime. They are very clear in terms of what they want, which is more autonomy, more control, and they'll jump ship.
We got all kinds of response here. Some sympathetic, but others absolutely not. Justin says that bang you hear is the sound of the door closing as the last of the talent at Yahoo leaves. David says it's hypocritical. She's representing a company promoting the future as being in technology and then not using it. On the other hand, Yahoo's in trouble. Eric in Sudbury, Massachusetts. Eric, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I work from home. I've worked from home for a long time, and I can tell you my productivity and my quality of life is far better because I get to work from home. And just one point, from a business perspective, a lot of businesses do this because it saves them money. If you have to have office space for 8,000 people in Silicon Valley, that's a significant cost.
And Yahoo already has the office space. What about the crisis they're in? Their memo says, you know, we've got to have people working side by side for those insights that come from hallway and cafeteria discussion, speed and quality. What about it, Eric?
I totally reject it. Whatever their problems are, they're not related to people working from home. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you have an internet connection and a phone, you can work from anywhere. And there are people doing great work in the office and from home and a combination of the two. So whatever Yahoo's problems are, it's not that people are working from home.
Got it. Ray, what do you say?
So if I can make a couple of observations, first of all, of course there are people who are working very effectively from home. But when I say it's been oversold, it's this notion that, you know, half the workforce is going to be working from coffee shops or the kitchen table. That is, it works for some tasks, it works for some people, but it absolutely doesn't work for everyone. We already had a caller who made this point on her own behalf. And yeah, there has been, among other things, there was a trial done at a large internet company in China where they randomly assigned employees to the privilege of working from home. And it did, in fact, improve productivity, partly because you can easily monitor a customer service rep. But they actually found that at the end of this trial, quite a lot of them wanted to come back and spend time in the cubicle. That is, it obviously worked for the previous caller, but a lot of people crave the social interaction that comes with office life.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Yahoo's CEO Marissa Mayer banning work from home. A high-powered new mom says get back in the office, and we're looking at what's going on here. Raymond Fistman is with us from Columbia's Business School in New York, author of The Org. His opinion piece on CNN is CEO right, Yahoo workers must show up. You can link to it from our website, onpointradio.org. Sylvia Ann Hewlett is with us from New York, president and CEO of the Center for Talent Innovation there, director of the Gender and Policy Program at the School of International and Public Affairs at Columbia as well. Two different perspectives, lots of response here. My goodness, Mara Beth says, let's see what Marissa Mayer thinks about flexibility in 5 or 6 years when she wants to take some time to see her son's school play. Okay, we'll see. Tony says, come on, she's an intelligent, rational business person whose job is to create shareholder value by implementing a sustainable business model for Yahoo. It's that simple, folks. A lot of things are changing, though. Azivar writes, the reality is for many large corporations, our teammates are spread across the country and the globe. So, of course, it's going to be remote work together. Let's go to Michelle in Somerville, Massachusetts. Michelle, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have been following this very closely. I work from home completely, and I have a lot of opinions about this. And I think that one of the biggest arguments for working from home is the work-life balance. And I actually think that working from home makes that even harder because your employer feels like they have access to more of your time. They think that working from home is a benefit, therefore you can work later into the evening or earlier in the morning.
Michelle, let me ask you something. Do you think that when Yahoo's employees get rounded up and brought back into the office, that they are not going to be contacted at home in the evening? That they're not going to be expected to work after 5 p.m.?
Well, I guess it's different at every organization, but there's something about working in the place that you live, and then so not only is there not the physical separation between work and home, but then there's that lack of time separation, and you can't. I mean, I know at other organizations you can't say no in the evening, but you really can say no if you work from home.
Yeah, Raymond, what do you think? Get into the office, but you'll be free after hours? That doesn't seem like the ethics she's trying to build here.
Yeah, I'm also. It's not clear to me that these two are necessarily connected. I understand what she's trying to accomplish with this. I could easily imagine that there is a version down the line once she's changed the culture of Yahoo where it's much more what Sylvia Ann Hewlett is describing, where there's a good mix of face-to-face interaction and work from home. I would second the caller's view that it's very difficult to work exclusively from home. One version of this that I've heard from my friend Drew Curtis, who runs a company called FARC.com, which is by and large a virtual company, is that unless all of the employees get together with some considerable frequency, this virtual company, a certain degree of paranoia builds up because all of these virtual interactions via Skype or email are just lack the high fidelity of personal interaction.
The little body language.
Misunderstanding, yes, misunderstanding upon misunderstanding, a layer of misunderstanding upon misunderstanding builds up. So they just have to get together physically.
Sylvia, what about that? I mean, of course, this isn't about people who are necessarily apart all the time, but Yahoo's now saying in the office all the time. But what about all the little subtle physical, reads that we get on one another face to face?
I would like to kind of emphasize, the global point that I think one of the callers brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Most big companies, and, Yahoo is a big company. We're not talking about small entrepreneurial startup, where, it's perhaps cheaper not to have an office. Yahoo has a lot of real estate, as you pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
But these companies are, international. They're very far-flung. And most folks have really learned to work very effectively in virtual teams because, if you have a part of your function in India or, Texas or, Mexico City, obviously that is going on. And what I guess I want to underscore is that pretending that you will kind of solve the presentism by, you know, insisting that, you know, in Silicon Valley, you know, this particular group of workers is perhaps the only group that is going to be side by side, is so rolling the clock back. I also feel that some of the new technology, you know, telepresence, which is particularly fabulous.
Is that different from Skype? What is that?
Yes. It's a very high resolution, three-dimensional. It's a Cisco.
Almost a hologram sitting there.
Right. Well, you know, it's used a lot. It's used all over the world.
Okay.
Particularly well used in India, I find.
Yeah.
So we are talking about this world that has, you know, extraordinary tools that is working in virtual teams anyway. And what I find, it's not a question of most people working at home all the time. It's I'll tell you a story from Burbank. I did some amazing interviews at Warner Brothers recently. So what did the high-performing people want? One said, you know, my idea of the perfect, you know, work arrangement is if I can leave at 4, get home, deal with the homework craziness is in my house, right? And then, you know, get back online, having worked out and, you know, been to the gym at 9 o'clock. I work very happily until 1 o'clock. She said that makes my entire workday about, you know, 10, 11 hours, which is what I need to put in. But she said, I would give my right arm to get that schedule. And I'll, you know, go to whoever will give me that schedule because for me, it is a lifesaver and also is the way I stay healthy.
I totally get it. But what about a company in crisis? I mean, you say it's not a startup, but in a way it is. I mean, I don't know what Yahoo is anymore. A lot of people don't know.
Yahoo,
what's the fundamental, you know, value of Yahoo? They're trying to reimagine it here.
No, what they're trying to do, they're about brain power, right? They're not making widgets. They're about using their best talent well and enabling them to be as productive and as innovative as possible. And what I'm trying to say is that, you know, the value proposition of the employee is incredibly important if you want to pull that off, because you want to create the conditions where talent can flourish.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. Deb in Omaha, Nebraska. Deb, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
My worry is my husband actually works with Yahoo, and he loves the company, and he's very, very fond of the culture, and he does go in full time. And there are nights that I don't pick him up sometimes until 8, sometimes even 10:30. Regularly, it's around that 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
But when I do pick him up at the 5 o'clock hour, he does bring his work home, and he works from home. And we have a large family that want to see their daddy. I think that this might be detrimental to him and us.
That he won't have what? The flexibility to be with
the ability to work from home, even in the evenings when he does.
Somehow I'm guessing Yahoo won't complain if he comes to the office, you know, 9 to 5 and works at home as well. Do you think, Deb?
I don't think they would complain at all. But, I mean, if we take away that VPN, then he's going to be in the office that much longer.
Yeah, yeah, I see that. I appreciate your call, Deb. You know, there's Deb, let me ask you, does he work in Omaha or... Is that what you're talking about, or are you also in California? What?
No, Yahoo actually has a home location here in Omaha now.
Right. So it's not just Silicon Valley by any means. First-hand observation there and concern from the Yahoo bubble. Thanks, Deb. Kristen in Lexington, Kentucky. You're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I hate to go back to one of the previous callers said, but I believe that we wouldn't have this conversation if Ms. Meyer was not a woman who just had a baby. I just can't believe that we're even bringing that up in this day and age. She's a powerful woman who is making good decisions trying to make a good decision for her company. And I can't believe that we're talking about the fact that she just had an infant. That's irrelevant to this discussion.
You think that's sexist to note that?
Yes.
But there she is, you know, I mean, an awful lot of women, I have to say, are bringing it up all over the place, on air and online here, saying, come on, have some more empathy, Marissa. You know, appreciate what we're up against here, trying to raise a family.
Well, and I believe that that is something that needs to be changed in our society at large. Look at family and child rearing as a male and female responsibility. But the fact that we are saying, come on, we need these mommy jobs in this day and age, that is just... remarkable to me. I mean, I know it's a reality.
You know,
I can't believe that nobody's asking that question.
Well, let me here's a response online from Emily. Emily says, you know, Marissa's ideas are ridiculous. She's lost touch with her employees. Not everyone can afford to hire a 24/7 nanny to accommodate her demands upon the Yahoo employees. If she wants everyone to come into the office every day, fine. Raise their salaries so they can afford to do that. If she doesn't want to do that, then fire everyone who believes family is more important than work and watch what happens. I mean, what do you think of Emily's perspective, Kristen?
And like I said, I think maybe we need to have a greater societal change to say that we need to value family from a male and female perspective. But to focus this discussion on women is sexist in and of itself.
Kristen, point taken. I think that there's more than the women's issue on the table here, but her early motherhood does kind of raise it high. I don't know. I mean, Sylvia, here's another listener online says, she has a special nursery built right next to her for her baby. I'm sure she's doing the same for all mothers at Yahoo. I guess that's no. There's wait. She's an elite. The serfs can pound sand. Is it sexist to bring up Marissa's circumstances, the CEO's circumstances, when we look at the whole issue, Sylvia?
I think we are muddying the waters. I mean, as I said earlier, there are at least two very important things we're talking about.
Life is muddy, isn't it?
Well, of course, but to target this particular CEO because she's a mom as opposed to because she has put this brand new policy in place, which is very, I guess, uncomfortable and seems quite retrograde, I think, for many folks. Maybe that's what we should mostly be focusing in on. The other thing I just want to pull up there because, you know, again, a caller mentioned it. It is, there's a lot of cost savings for companies when there's sensible use of flexibility. Not only do you tend to retain your best workers, because, you know, if you lose a key engineer, it costs 2.5 times that person's annual salary to replace them. High rates of attrition are very costly. And the last thing, you know, Yahoo needs right now is a kind of revolving door of exiting people. That will be a huge hit to the bottom line. But think of the other kinds of cost savings. Folks who go home at, say, 3:34, mm-hmm. seeking to work later on in the evening, they're commuting at a better time of day.
Yeah.
And their commute is it's half the time that it would be at 5:30. This is particularly important, you know, in the Bay Area, in the New York area, lots of areas in our country. And to, you know, glob on to someone's day an extra couple of hours in commuting, you know, is not what we want if we're trying to use people's time well, or indeed if they're trying to, you know, actually see their families. So there's something profoundly inefficient in this approach. And if we're talking about the performance of this company, you have to kind of weigh those things into.
Cincinnati, Ohio, Winnie's calling. Hi, Winnie, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I've been listening to the issue on a couple of different stations this morning, and in listening to the conversations you've been having, one of the things that I think hasn't been brought up is, I believe, from my perspective, this CEO is creating sort of a loyalty call, an all hands on deck, we're in crisis, I need to see faces, I need you in the offices,
mm-hmm.
To see who's going to come to that call, who's going to answer the call. So I'm kind of on the mindset, and I don't mean to make anybody offended out there,
mm-hmm.
but truly, if you are, if you have the mindset that you're some sort of a cowboy and you can do as you please from home, and we've kind of, as a society, started to value that, you know, we want to make you happy, we have to have you, I really think the CEO may be saying, you know, maybe what we can create together is better than that cowboy mentality that's gotten us where we are. So let's all come to the table and see what we can do.
Winnie, let me ask you, do you see it as a refutation of the whole idea of telecommuting or more like a crisis moment move that Marissa Meyer's taking?
I think it's a crisis of the moment. I don't think in any way she intends to downplay the value of what someone from home can contribute or to change a societal view of that right now. I think simply what she's doing is saying, I need all hands on
yep.
deck.
Winnie, we've got it. I appreciate your call. Raymond Fishman, Do you think this could end up, yes, Yahoo may have a crisis, but is there also, you're kind of suggesting maybe a reset in our expectations, our understanding of who's going to be doing what most effectively down the future? If we've had some techno-utopia going on here, is this a reset, a little harbinger?
Well, I don't think anyone sees this as a refutation of the notion of telecommuting in general, which has, of course, been trending upward for some time now. But I think there are lots of these ideas, you know, the paperless office, the virtual office, the fact that we'll all just transact through, you know, online platforms like Odesk that let us find, you know, on a contract basis, people to design web pages or write code for us. People often jump to extremes about what these technologies will deliver. And, you know, it's just to emphasize that there are limits to these things. There are limits both in terms of what we can get done all in our own separate spaces, technological improvements notwithstanding, and also what people desire. I'll go back to the China study. That despite the increase in productivity for customer service representatives working from home, a reasonably large minority of them, after the trial came to an end, wanted to go back to their cubicle in this hangar-sized office space to have that human contact that comes with going to the office.
Well, there may be cultural issues at work there as well. It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out over time for Yahoo, how long they stick with it, if they stick with it, if employees stick with them, if Yahoo find its feet, and how people assess that. Raymond Fishman at Columbia Business School, very good of you to join us today to look at it. Thank you so much for your insights.
Thanks for having me.
And Sylvia Ann Hewlett, President and CEO of the Center for Talent Innovation. Sylvia, thanks so much for joining us.
It was a good conversation. Thanks.
Listeners, thanks for all your input. On Point is produced by Catherine Brewer, Julie Jopp, Sam Gelrosen, Eileen Amata, Emily Alpin-Johnson, Stefano Katsonis, James Ross, Dean Russell, and Aisha Siddiqui, with help from Ali Harrison and Sarah Platt. Our executive producer is Karen Schiffman. They are a great team. We're glad to have them. And when they're in the office, it's great to see them. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.